It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos, as always. And yes, Joe, we have made it back to America's Music City.
Well, physically we're here, but mentally we're still about 900 miles from here.
Mentally, you're still in Key West. Mentally, I am in some days somewhere. Because of cold medicine and ears not popping and just
and travel.
The cold and travel. And honestly, I want to go in my little cave and not be around anybody. But I'm powering through because I got you and I got Dr. Crane and y'all help me out.
Well, that's good. I had to laugh on the flight coming from, because you boarded way ahead of me from Key West to Atlanta. I've never seen a more miserable row of people in my life because you're gigantic. You had somebody next to you who didn't want to be there, and she was all just kind of shriveled up in her seat, and the guy on the end there looked miserable. I was like, come on, we got you guys, man. I felt bad right there.
I put some headphones in, and I listened to music.
But here's the good part about this. The row behind you looked even worse, and then it got worse and worse back to my row, which was the very second to the last row in the back. But safe and sound, man.
We made it. Got a little delayed in Atlanta because apparently they had to clean the plane, and it took a while, and then they had to clean it again and didn't take the trash out, which is code for something was broke on the plane, and they didn't want to say that. So
But I was proud of you. I was like, because we had people around us, and I said, young man, you have the face to get things done, and you marched right up there and got answers. I like that. I was proud of you for doing that.
I got a BS answer, but I got some answers.
Hey, you came back, and you eased all of our nerves there in the airport. But when we were stuck in Atlanta, that's when the college football playoff rankings came out. And then you Vol fans, man, y'all are hot. Y'all were hot, and I get it. I get it. You deserve to be over Ohio State. I get it. And sometimes I think that this committee, Chase, is trolling just a little bit. I don't know. It's not intentional, but they are.
Well, and here's the thing. This is what everybody needs to remember. The rankings that came out last night, the rankings that came out last week, and the week before that, and the week before that,
right,
do not matter right. whatsoever.
You're right.
They are there for us to talk about, for Paul Feinbaum to talk about, for Heather Dinich to talk about, for sports talk shows across America to talk about. That's all they're there for. Next week, the ones that come out, I guess,
Sunday night,
those matter because those are the real ones. And a lot's going to change between now and then.
It is. And I said on the plane, I'm like, all right, what if Oregon loses to Penn State, but then Texas beats Georgia, and then about 2 minutes into it, I went cross-eyed. I'm like, I can't figure this out. It's going to figure itself out. But I'm with you, Tennessee fans. I just being ranked below Ohio State. But you know what? If that's the way it ends up and you've got to go to Columbus, use it as motivation. Because I think that Tennessee team would beat Ohio State. I think they're done.
I think Ryan Day's done.
I think their coach is done. I had this conversation on Saturday with a coach in – we were in Miami. And he's like, hey, I watched that Ryan Day interview. He looks so stiff. And so uptight, he's like, I knew they were going to lose. And they lost the game. And so I think Ohio State is packed it in. If you go up there, just kick their butt and then go on. And maybe you just roll through the whole thing, man. Who knows?
I don't know. I'm interested to kind of see how they do it. Who ends up where and all that stuff. But, you know, I just think you have to kind of take a deep breath, let the process play out. Don't get too upset because you're in. Because here's the thing. No matter what, they're in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we know deep down who's going to win this, right? Alabama's going to win
this.
No,
they're not.
Just out of spite. Alabama's going to get in, and they're going to run the table.
It would be such an Alabama thing to do, but would I don't
it
not? Think so.
I think they will. So Tennessee fans want to hear from you. If that thing kind of – the current – standings held out, which they're not going to, but there'll be some epic games. But Tennessee going to Ohio State, it would be a fun game. They'll all be fun games. But seeing Boise State as a number four right now, or three, whatever they are, is just, I don't know, man. I think Boise State would be a mid-level team in the SEC.
So I just opened the text line, and I don't know what happened towards the end of the morning show. And I just see 6455 says, sounds like Chase McCabe is running a tight ship over there. Oh, wait, he decided to take a few days off in Miami and broadcast his show from some random bar. Like, what I do now?
What's
I'm
wrong with
catching
that?
Catching strays.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Were we not? We were
working.
You were, and I will testify, you were working beyond and after the show the last 2 days.
Yeah, I was.
Yes.
So, you know, but everybody wants to think they know me and know what I do and all that stuff. So
not real life, fine. Baby. Yeah,
it's not real life.
Nope.
But, okay, tell me what you're mad about and why I'm not running a tight ship. I would love to know. 615-737-1025.
You just randomly took off for a few days, kind of like D.B. Cooper. We don't know where you went and you returned.
Traveled with MTSU. You know, went with their football program. Yep. Spent a lot of time with Coach Derek Mason at signing day. We gave him some names to talk to, and he told us to go sit
stay
in the back.
We were gouging or gorging on this food after the game Saturday, and he stopped by and have a word with us. And
he did.
I had barbecue all over my fingers and my face and trying to have a conversation with the coach.
I will say this, that, you know, obviously we had a tremendous relationship with Rick Stockstill.
Yeah.
Me going back to college and you, you know, as a media member since his time there. And he is a wonderful, wonderful man. I think it was time for a change, and it's just is what it is. And when they said they were hiring Derek Mason, I remember looking at you going, that is a perfect spot for him.
It is.
And yeah. And he can put some energy back in that program. And it was a rough first year, but that was almost by design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come in and let's establish what we're going to do, establish the culture at the start.
Yeah.
And then you go and you bring those guys in. I think they're going to have, you know, obviously signing day has started. The portal's going to open Monday. They're going to be busy there. So I root for guys like Derek Mason. So
well, you have to. And the portal, I mean, they had 59 new guys. And you know, the official coach of the show is our friend, the coach, not Derek Mason, but another coach, and talked to him last night. It's like, I got to work nonstop. I got to re-recruit my own players. I've got to work nonstop. The portal's out there. I got to check these guys. I got to watch the tape. I got to see what they're about. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, these coaches, and look, they get in the profession. They know they work a lot, but it's 24/7 almost, because there are thousands of guys who've entered the portal looking for someplace better, and you got to figure out who's the right fit for your program, who's not the right fit, and you normally don't get to talk to these guys, maybe on the phone, but you're going to meet them in person and all that, and you hope, like, all right, come in here with the right attitude and play, and that's part of the portal, and I don't blame these guys for hitting the portal and doing all that, but you got signing day today for college football, Wednesday. You had the rankings come out for those teams that are still in it. Then you got the portal on Monday. I mean, it's more – Chase, and we talked to Derek Mason about this. It's so much more than you're not coaching on the field now. There's no coaching on the field. It's all picking and choosing.
I do wonder this, though, because, and this isn't one of those things of the way it's always been. This is actually a fairly new thing. They essentially moved signing day up. You know, the early signing period is what they call it.
Right.
And signing day is still in February, I guess. But
there's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. But they moved this up, and then you got the portal. Is it kind of wrong that now you have the playoff that should be your big story that everybody's focused on, yet you're going to have people checking, you know, especially if their team is not in the playoff, they're going to be checking on, okay, what are they doing in the portal? Who are they signing college-wise? It would almost make sense, and I do wonder if there's going to be a period of time where they push this part, this off-season part back after the championship.
No. I think they keep it where it is. I think they'll keep the signing.
So you think they like kind of having two different storyline streams?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's part of it now. You have the signing day in February, you have the early signing day that's going on right now to get the guys in on campus in January. And look, there are 132, I think, roughly around there, football teams between the Power Four and the Group of Five. And we're talking 12 teams. So there's 120 teams who are already in their offseason.
Right.
So it's a small part which is being affected right now by that. But if you want to be the chaos, then win games and get to the playoff, and then you'll deal with all that stuff. But I think most guys or most coaching staffs, it's like it is what it is. We have to deal with it.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vols fans, How are you feeling? You know you're in the playoff. Right now, you're slated to go to the Shoe and take on Ohio State. How do you feel about that? Or do you are you just like, hey, things are going to change between now and Sunday night. We're good. Let's just enjoy the ride. 615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, we're up and running here on a Wednesday. John McClain will join us at the bottom of the hour. Ryan O'Reilly, Preds Forward, will join us at 10:30 today. Joe talked to him a little bit earlier this morning, so you'll hear that conversation at 10:30 here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will take on Miami with a 4 o'clock tip, and the pregame show will begin at 3:45. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and on 94.9thefan.com. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Wednesday, talking college football playoff rankings. Did they get it right? Again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter right now. It matters on Sunday night. But it obviously is fun to talk about. But right now, how the brackets would, would have Tennessee going to the Horseshoe, taking on Ohio State, a 9 versus an 8 seed. The top four would be Oregon, Texas, SMU, Boise State. You'd have Penn State hosting Arizona State, Alabama going to South Bend to take on Notre Dame, and Georgia hosting Indiana.
I'm reading. The ACC is incredibly disappointed and upset that the committee had Miami falling out of the top 12. That just makes me laugh because Miami lost to Syracuse. You haven't done much. And right. The committee kind of recognized that Miami hasn't done much. And he Cristobal went on a South Florida radio station. It's on ESPN.com. And he said, implored the selection committee to go to the facts when deciding whether the Hurricanes deserve to get in. We won 10 games this year. Not many teams have. And our losses, those losses came down to one possession. That's a very different resume than the 9-3 teams.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm sorry. Again, I'm going to yell this from the rooftops. The ACC, Miami's ACC schedule versus, you know, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina's SEC schedule is just, the SEC schedule's harder.
It
just is. And I get, and the criteria does not state that it's all about record. If it did, okay. Nothing to argue about. You'd have, if it was all about record, Miami would be in, Arizona State would be in. Well, Arizona State, Iowa State, one of them would be in, which is going to happen now. BYU would be in, UNLV would be in because they're 10-2. I mean, Army would be in at 10-1. You got Navy this weekend, but
yeah.
Yeah. So Memphis would be in at 10-2. I mean, if you're going by record,
put them all in.
Yeah. You just have 10 wins, okay. But to me, in college football, with the way things are laid out, strength of schedule, your conference schedule, does matter. Whether you want it to or not, it does.
Alabama fans, you might have an Alabama homeboy ruining your college football plans because according to a lot of these people talking, if Clemson beats SMU, then Alabama's out, Clemson is in. So Dabo will knock his alma mater out of the playoffs if Clemson wins, according to some of these experts. If it happens on Saturday.
I mean, they may be right.
So, does that mean SMU gets in? Oh, that'll make Dr. Crane. Oh,
yes. 100% yes.
The SMU gets in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, let's play the argument for a second. Because SMU's in the ACC now. This was their schedule. At Nevada, Houston Christian, they lost to BYU, TCU, Florida State, Louisville, Stanford, beat Duke by a point, wins a win, Pitt, Boston College, at Virginia, Cal, and then they play Clemson in the ACC championship game. That's their resume, all right? Let's go look at Miami. Miami at Florida, 1, Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, Cal, Louisville, Florida State, Duke, lost to Georgia Tech, Wake, and then lost to Syracuse. Those losses, I just think those are bad losses. and they should get penalized for that.
Well, look, in SMU, if you want to get in the playoffs, what do you need to do on Saturday?
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
Just win.
I will say last night on the broadcast, the spokesperson for the playoff, he emphasized between Alabama and Miami that it was Alabama's top 25 record that put them in over Miami because Miami only had one top 25 game.
Finally, common sense.
Yeah, and it was 0-1, and Alabama's was 3-2. So that's why they put them in at 11.
I like that. I that is how it should be, the schedule, the strictest schedule. Now, look, you can't go 6-6 and say, hey, we put an SEC schedule, look at us, and get in. I mean, you got to win your games. But there should be some sort of levity for playing an SEC schedule and losing one or two games because of the strength that you're going against every day. It's just the way it's going to be. And the committee's got a daunting task ahead of – I mean, Sunday night, all hell's going to break loose for the one or two teams that don't get in. But you knew this going in. And then don't acquiesce and say, we're going to put two more teams in just because you guys are mad. Well, the 15th and 16th team are going to complain too because it's just going to go on and on and on. Stand your ground, get your 12, defend your 12, and then go forward. Not everybody's going to be happy. We know this coming Sunday night.
Do you think here's what's going to be interesting. Let's say Texas beats Georgia, which I think is going to happen. So then Georgia has three losses. And it comes down to Georgia or Alabama. Alabama beat Georgia head-to-head.
You got to put Alabama in.
Alabama beat Georgia head-to-head. They lost to Vandy, which looks maybe a little worse now.
Head-to-head, man.
And then they lost to Tennessee. The Oklahoma loss is a bad loss.
It is. It is a bad loss. You're going to have bad losses, but I think that's what – I think Alabama gets in. The Ole Miss has an argument of where they are, but don't lose to Florida.
And then South Carolina sitting over here like, hey, yo, hey, what's up? How you doing?
And then the Peter Burns goes and says the committee should look at how South Carolina was robbed in the LSU game because of a bad call. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't go – I mean, it was a bad call, but you can't weigh that as a factor in there. I mean, South Carolina lost the game. Don't put yourself in a position to have a call determine whether you lose or not. Yeah, they played their tails off against Alabama, but they lost. They're playing really good right now. They beat Clemson. I get all that stuff. But that's why you have to win the games that matter. It's still important to win it. NFL, you can go 9-8 and get in the playoffs. College football, yeah. You can't. Every game still matters. That's what makes college football so much fun.
I love the chaos involved in this.
It's great.
Because you got 3 9-3 SEC teams that, well, potentially 4,
right,
that have a case. They all have a case. And I'll say they all have a case. But they cannibalized each other. It's what we've been saying all year long, that this is what was going to happen with the SEC, that they were going to eat each other up, and then that's going to open the door, or at least crack the door open for the argument of who's a better team, a 9-3 Alabama or 10-2 Miami, a 9-3 Ole Miss or a 10-2 Miami or SMU or an 11-1 Indiana. I mean, that's why they're not just looking at record. They're looking at everything. And the argument's going to be there, and that's the chaos they wanted to create, and that's why we love it.
It is. And, well, again, Sunday night when this comes out, we'll figure everything out and see what's going on and people complaining. But if you want to win, if you want to get in the playoffs, win your games. Right? Win your games and get it done. And now, but there should be some reward for getting to the conference championship game. Right? There should be a little bit of umph for getting there.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like for Penn State. Penn State's schedule was awfully soft, but there should be not an award, but some sort of umph for getting to the conference championship game.
Well, that's the big one because, you know, Oregon's ranked number one, Penn State is ranked number three. One of them is going to lose that game,
mm-hmm.
and you know I think I haven't looked. I think Oregon's a slight favorite, but like that might be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, oh, I thought they're all huge, but in a weird way, somehow if we could work our mojo happen, I was big about Indiana coming to Neyland, but Penn State.
Oh my goodness!
Rolling into Neyland,
Jimmy Frank comes back to Tennessee.
Could you imagine? I mean, any game in Neyland's going to be perfect. It's going to be the biggest game ever in that stadium. But having Penn State and James Franklin come to Neyland Stadium.
Okay, so I'm curious. I need a couple of Vols fans to weigh in on this. Do you care about that as much as we do here? Because, like, I'm a Vanderbilt fan with, obviously, respect for Tennessee and pull for both. But more Vandy. But it does that matter? Like, does the – or did you guys look at James Franklin as when he left?
Whatever? Good question. Good
like, question. Do you care? Does that? Is there a storyline there for you at all as a Vols fan?
That's a good
of
question.
Him coming back? Because we both remember there was a time where there was a little chatter off Rocky Top of, hey, if he wanted to come here.
There was. They're right.
I wanted them to hire him when they hired Heupel. I was like, oh, please do this.
Yeah, there was a time, you know, when they went from Butch to Pruitt. The rumors out there. Bring him in. He's been at Penn State for a couple of years doing great. And now I do think with one day, I think Franklin would love to come back to the SEC and coach just because his ego is so massive and so big to prove that he can coach in that level in the SEC. But
there's a job in the SEC that won't be open this year, but it's been open a couple times that I always thought he would take. And I was really, really surprised that he didn't.
Florida.
Yep. 100%.
I think he would do well at Florida. Look, his record at Penn State's been pretty good, but he hasn't won. He won the Big Ten once.
Yeah.
And who won? Did he win the bowl game versus Ole Miss last year? Ole Miss won that you went to.
I went to an Ole Miss one. Ole Miss beat that booty.
Yeah. So Kiffin actually did. I think him and Kiffin are just two big, massive frauds, but I'd take James Franklin over Kiffin because at least he's won something and Kiffin hasn't won anything. But I just think, look, for me, I'm a college football historian. In name only, because I like saying that about myself. If seeing these iconic programs come into Neyland would be so cool.
See if you can follow me on this one. 6487 says, let's flip the script from this discussion. Penn State beats Oregon, and a review of common opponents suggests that it's quite possible. And Georgia beats Texas. Penn State would be the number one seed. UT, Tennessee, in the second round if they beat Ohio State.
Okay.
So that could possibly – but I think under that scenario, Tennessee may not play Ohio State in the first round. Some things would change. Because, again, remember, the loser of Penn State, Oregon, is going to – they're gonna factor in somewhere.
Right. But that's the problem is we can't – there's so much collateral off a simple win. Like if UNLV beats Boise, that UNLV team is going to be – I mean, they're not guaranteed a top four, right? They'll be number five. Is that what they're guaranteed, the five spot?
UNLV beats Boise?
Yeah, if they're the group of five representation in the playoff, aren't they?
Yeah, they may not be, but they'll be in.
Yeah, they'll be in. And then if Clemson beats SMU, I don't think, Dr. Green, I'm sorry, I don't think SMU gets in.
Yeah, look, I was just looking at their schedule. That resume, it's kind of bleak because there's not a lot of top 25 games in their schedule. And I mean, unfortunately for them, like they can't help that, but at the same time, you got to win those games.
So if that happens, Tennessee moves up, and Tennessee gets to host a playoff game. So there's a lot of factors involved here. But, again, there's so many hypotheticals that you got to march around that you can't really like, all right, this is guaranteed going to happen if that happens. We don't know.
I love this. I love chaos.
Well, I love you.
Well, I love you too. That's Thank so you. Sweet. Coming up next, John McClain is going to join us. We'll talk NFL and different things with him, including – the Aziz Alshire hit and the appeal. We might even get his thoughts on the playoff as well. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday and every Wednesday at this time. We say hello to our favorite Texan, John McClain, who is on the line with us. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving and happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Absolutely. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving as well. Before we get into the NFL stuff, I'm just curious of your thoughts of this 12-team college football playoff and, you know, the rankings that have come out, they don't matter until Sunday night. That's when the final ones will come out. But what's kind of been your thought on this, and how do you feel about the Longhorns in their first year in the SEC, and can they win the SEC on Saturday?
Well, first of all, I read and watch everything I possibly can about the college football playoff, and no matter how controversial it is, no matter who ends up being disappointed, the the level of attention it's generated has been great for the sport. And I think it was brilliant. They'll end up making it a bigger field, and there'll still be controversy. And as far as the Longhorns, it's very interesting. I'll look at all the projections. It looks like they could play Georgia three times. And if they beat them in the SEC championship game, then it would come down to they'd be 1-1. Then they could play in the second round. That would be unbelievable, unprecedented, I believe, in college sports, especially two such good teams. The thing that I've been reading, Alabama does not deserve to be in the 12. Now, I know a lot of your listeners will disagree because of the losses. You can't get killed at Oklahoma and get in there. And I feel terrible for Miami. Miami, it's just amazing. Miami fell, losing a closer game than Ohio State did, blowing a game. They were favored by 21. But it is so much fun to watch. I can't wait. And what I can't understand now, some teams are going to be penalized for playing in their conference championships.
Yep.
And teams that did not because they lost are going to be able to take advantage of it. And I know the people on the committee say we're not going to hold it against them because they had to play an extra game, but you know they will. And so I can't wait for this weekend. I can't wait to see. I'm stunned. Are y'all surprised Texas and Georgia is not the primetime game, which is always the one that's the highest rated? I am.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know if they just stuck with tradition and keeping it in the afternoon, which is kind of where it's been. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, the Big Ten is going to be a good one, but I would have thought that the SEC would have been the featured game.
To me, the most underrated team in the country is SMU. SMU's yep. lost one close game, but because they came out of nowhere, you know, they were nothing, then they bought their way into the ACC. They go to the ACC, and they're not getting money, TV money for years, and SMU is one of the wealthiest schools in the country. And all those wealthy alums are just looking for a reason to write multi-million dollar checks. So within 1 week, they raised all the money that they would be getting if they were a full-fledged member from TV, from the conference in a week. And they don't draw a lot of fans. They didn't sell out the game last week, a lot because the students were gone. But it's cowboy country they play in, of course. But SMU's got a quarterback, Jennings, who is outstanding, one of the most underrated. And I'm so sick of hearing Dabo Swinney whining at the podium. My God, I want to just, like he said, oh, y'all thought we were a bad team. I'd love for a reporter to say, Dabo, when did somebody call you a bad team? Tell us when and who. Well, he'd be like Porky Pig. He'd be up there, blah, 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 because nobody's called Clemson a bad team. I want them to get beat so bad to shut him up, because SMU, Rhett Lashley, is a first-class coach who's done an outstanding job. Nobody's talking about him for Coach of the Year, and that guy has been tremendous. So I can't wait for these games, and I hate to see, like, if Boise State got beat and yeah. deprived us of Ashton Jenny. They've already beaten UNLV. I watched it. I've watched a lot of Ashton Jenny's games because they come on late. And I love watching that kid. I've told you guys before, he reminds me of Barry Sanders when he was at Oklahoma State. And I would hate to see some of the teams that were dominant be penalized for playing in their championship game.
I know an NFL team in Texas that could use his services, you know, come this spring. But
and you know what? The fact is, he grew up, his dad was military. So he was an Army brat, and he was born in Italy, and his family moved around, and he went to high school and played in the stadium that's on the Cowboys practice site in Frisco, a wealthy suburb. And that stadium seats 12,000. It's indoors, and that's where he played. So, my goodness, wouldn't that be something if the Cowboys drafted him? Now, they're going to fool around and win too many games. They've won two. They got two in a row, I think. And so they're going to fool around and not get him, because most people think with this new emphasis on running backs, it makes a guy like Ashton Jenny more valuable. And so I'll be glad if he doesn't drop to the Cowboys.
I want to get back to them in a second. But Azeez Alshire gets three games. He's going to appeal it. What did you think of the hit? What did you think of his response after it? And then the NFL's response in suspending him three games?
Well, I'm glad you pronounced his name right. You had a lot of practice last year. So many people are calling him Shire. And I put a thing out on Twitter and say it's one syllable. It's not Shire. Anyway, I've done so many shows now, I don't correct them. I just say, hey, Azeez Alshire. Okay, I thought it was a dirty hit, and he should have been ejected, and he should have been suspended. I thought one game, max two, cut back to one on appeal. And afterward, you know, he's never been ejected from a game. And I was told by, well, Nick, your great producer, that he didn't have a controversial season there last year. And he's not going to change the way he plays because that's helped him come from nowhere to make millions of dollars on this contract he signed with the Texans instead of re-signing with the Titans because he wanted to be reunited with D'Amico Ryans, who ghosted him in San Francisco. So I thought afterward when the players, the Jaguars, came and jumped on him, which they should have, and in his apology the next day, he said he didn't blame them for doing that. He would have done the same thing. Then D'Amico Ryans comes out strong, and yesterday Nick Caserio ripped the league like I've never seen. They never say he shouldn't be suspended. And what D'Amico said is he got on the Jaguars, and I tweeted when D'Amico – I covered every D'Amico Ryans game at practice. And if that had happened to Matt Schaub when he played and it was close to the – Texans sideline, D'Amico would have been the first person out there jumping on the perpetrator. But remember, when coaches talk to the media, they're not talking to us. They're talking to the players. They're giving a message to the players, and they wanted Azeez Alshire to know they have his back, and they want him to know that they support him. They want the other players to know that as well. So when you see Ryan saying that, he doesn't care what we think or the Jaguars think or the league thinks. He cares about what his locker room thinks. And he got a lot of criticism for saying the Jaguars shouldn't have come out there on the field and started the fight. And then, of course, Alshire ripped somebody's helmet off. That guy, he never backs down. In the second game of the year against the Bears, Caleb Williams running along the sideline. Alshire just drilled him. He was in bounds. Could he have let up? Sure, he could have let up. That's not his style. He drilled him. It was on the Bears' sideline. The Bears were all over him. He came up swinging. Always the dumbest thing in football, other than lining up to the neutral zone, which I always call a brain bend penalty, is when you're throwing punches at guys with helmets on. But he did. He hit a guy. And so people use that as an example of a dirty play. Well, it wasn't penalized, and he didn't get fined for that one. And so Nick Caserio came out yesterday and blasted the league for inconsistency in suspensions. And he gave a lot of examples of guys who were ejected, weren't suspended, and they were multiple offenders. And how sorry he's never been ejected, and he's never been suspended. And he had a point, and he just tore John Runyon up. John Runyon began his career here, moved with the Oilers to Tennessee. Then he had his biggest games in Philly, and he was the dirtiest player in the NFL. So I wrote, he's the best guy to be the head cop for the league because who knows dirty better than John Runyon? And it's been hilarious. People are going on YouTube and getting all these dirty hits by Runyon and putting him out there. And, oh, man, he was doing that from his rookie year. And it's been hilarious. These flying leaps over piles to hit players in the head. It was amazing. But anyway, he ripped him because of the way Runyon worded it. He never talked Alshire. He talked about his disregard for the game, made him sound like a criminal, and he's never even met him. So that's what Caserio was doing. Now, he's gone for three. He's appealed it. They come off the bye, and in a 10-day span, they play Miami here at Kansas City, Baltimore here on Christmas Day. And right now, he missed all three of those games, and he's one of their best players and a captain. They're hoping at least it gets cut down to two. And one more thing, because I've been retweeting these things for 3 days. It's amazing to me all the players coming out on the side of Al Shire, including Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. It's weird seeing quarterbacks talking about it and about the slides. And nobody's better than Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen at faking slides. Players hold up, and they keep running for gains.
He is John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday, continuing our discussion with John McClain.
John, the Titans go up to Washington and play terrible, and some of the guys complained because it was cold, but it was the comment from Jeffrey Simmons, John, about perhaps we were still hung over from last week's win. Look, I appreciate the honesty coming from Jeffrey Simmons, but if you're going to tell me you lose a game because you're hung over because you beat another team, I'm not going to accept that. And a lot of Titans fans aren't happy with that. What do you think about that comment, John?
Well, first of all, it's 42 degrees and guys are acting like they're cold. My goodness, I've never heard that. Wait till it's really cold. I remember when they went to Kansas City and won a playoff game, and it was single digits, right? Nobody's complaining about that. And, yes, it was a big win for them here. It was a very impressive performance on defense and with Will Levis. But, you know, that's excusable. You'd think they'd be extra fired up and extra motivated to increase and win a second consecutive game. Then they go up and get down 21-0 in the first quarter. So for whatever reason, they were not ready to play. Here, we blasted the Texans after they lost because the Titans scored on their first three possessions. In other words, the Texans were not ready to play. They came out flat. That's a sign of poor coaching, poor preparation, be blamed on the players. Now, they made a game out of it, and the Titans won it. But I didn't think the Titans would beat the Commanders, but I'm like you guys. I thought it'd be a whole lot better game.
John, I wanted to throw this stat at you. So Terry McCormick, who's covered the team, you know, since they got here, put this out. Will Levis' last four games projected out over a 17-game season. 302 of 489, a 61.9 completion percentage, 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 4,080 yards. Obviously haven't, you know, there's still things he's got to work on, but it has looked much better the last four games. What's kind of your thoughts on that and trying to look at it from a 17-game point of view?
Well, one thing you got to look at is, like, I think there have been two games where they've gotten their brains beat in, but his stats look good.
Right.
And so when you get pounded like they did at Washington and you have two touchdowns and no interceptions, that's good. But what were the circumstances? Did he play well and receivers drop passes? Was the blockers do a terrible job on the run? They couldn't run the ball because they fell behind so much in the first quarter. So you need to look at every possible positive stat you can with Levis. And we all know the thing is, you hope as he gets older, he will learn to get rid of the ball quicker, and which will help him cut back on turnovers. But the key is he's still competing to try to get the job next year, I would guess. But it's not a good season. It's not a good time for quarterbacks. So what if the time that the draft comes around and, say, three or four of them are rated high? Remember, everything that goes on during the college season, NFL teams don't admit this, but it counts very little toward the draft. They're more interested in what they do in Senior Bowl practices, the combine. Look at Anthony Richardson. Nobody talked about Anthony Richardson, even though they knew he was coming out at Florida. Y'all saw him in the SEC. Couldn't even complete 58% of his passes, and then all of a sudden he's Superman because of the combine. So Senior Bowl workouts, combine, pro days, and private workouts, and if you can make such a good impression on a team, like you're at lunch and dinner with a coach and a general manager, and they fall in love with your personality, you know, even though they want to keep it on the talent and the potential, it's hard not to fall in love with a guy. So there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that could be rated up there, right behind Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. And so what if the Titans have a chance to draft one they like? Do they take him, or do they think, you know what, we can win with Will? And that's going to – big part of that's going to be Brian Callahan, of course. And I would imagine his dad will be very influential. And then Rand Carthon, who's the one that has to draft the guy and put his reputation on the line. And so that's going to be the best part of the offseason. If they do ride with Levis another year, maybe they'll draft another offensive lineman in the first round.
Talking to John McClain here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, after Matt Eberflus was fired on Friday, a lot of people are like, that's a great landing spot for Mike Vrabel. But one we don't talk about, John, is that one of Vrabel's best friends is now co-owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Could you see a scenario, John, Mike Vrabel to the Raiders if they let go of Antonio Pierce?
Keep this in mind. When you fire a defensive coach, you almost always go offensive. And Eberflus is a defensive coach. They got a good defense. They need to rebuild their offensive line, which shouldn't be difficult. That is a premier job, as long as you don't mind freezing your ass off half the season. And so I think they will go after Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury coached Caleb Williams at USC for a season and called the plays. So I think they'll go for that. Now, does Ben Johnson want to go there? You can't pick a better team that has a quarterback, running backs, receiver, tight end, has a good defense. Usually those jobs aren't open. So I think that would be a premier job over, say, like Jacksonville or even the Cowboys, because you got to work for Jerry Jones. And I think Mike will get a job. You know, Antonio Pierce, 1 year as an interim last year, they're awful. I think Mike would be great there. I think a team that needs a guy to kick some serious butt, that Vrabel will be good. I can see Jerry Jones going after Mike. And because once you talk to Vrabel, you guys know how impressive he is. I always wanted to see him and Dan Campbell get in the octagon and go at it. And Jerry. And so, and Brady, yeah, I watched Texans have joint practices when the Texans were at the Greenbrier in West Virginia and the Patriots came in for 2 days. And so I had a great seat in the grandstands in the end zone where I could see both teams' practices. And boy, Vrabel and Brady were yucking it up and everything. You could tell that they were buddies, not just because he caught all those touchdown passes from Brady, but if they decided to move on, I'm sure that he'd be a coach they'd interview. Mark Davis has the final say, but why put Tom Brady in your organization if you're not going to listen to it?
Yeah, 100%. John, great stuff as always. We will see what happens this weekend and talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it as always, and happy holidays to everyone in Nashville.
Thank you, sir. John McClain joining us here on the program. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. We'll react to some of that and go back into the Titans. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.